voice of the world. The sound with the beat. The sound that sets you tapping your feet. Radio, the sound of year-round pleasure. The sound of the news, rhythm and blues. Tchaikovsky, swing, whatever you choose. Radio, the sound of year-round pleasure.
Welcome to All Things Radio, your weekly radio magazine, with radio news from a national perspective, caller and format changes, sports news, featuring radio stations from yesterday and today, your voicemails and phone calls, as well as special guests and featured segments. And now here's your host, Bill Sparks.
Educates, syncopates, radio communicates, radio, the sound of year-round pleasure.
Well, good evening, everybody. Jeff Bennett here, welcoming you to another edition of All Things Radio. This is not Bill Sparks, unfortunately. Bill Sparks had a few things to do today. We have the usual panel here with us, and I've asked Mike Loft to help me out in doing the chores here for the All Things Radio podcast. We've got a lot of things coming up this week in the podcast. First of all, we'll do our radio news, and we've got classic air check, and we've got the call letter and format changes, and we have a feature that Bill is continuing to do on the history of WFLA television. And we have lots of news to talk about, and we'll say good morning or good evening and good afternoon wherever you're listening.
Good afternoon.
That's right. We have a bunch of people here, so we'll say hello to everybody on the All Things Radio listening group here and the regular panels here. So I want to just say, I'll turn it over to you, Mike, if you want to say something briefly, and then we'll go into our radio news. Okay.
All right. Exactly. So what we'll do is we'll have a little more conversation as we get into the show. So what I thought I'd do is throw out a few topic starters that way give you some time to think about them, and we can come back and discuss any of these that, you know, as time permits, or that you think you have something to contribute or feel very passionate about. So here we go. A few things. Of course, the big news today, the arrest of Jesse Smollett and that whole ordeal, which I'm sure most of you know about. So the story's not as much about him, other than the underlying theme is that, other than maybe trying to negotiate a better salary, the concept of doing things to maybe promote ratings. And so I want to hear things that you know about or in the past that maybe TV and especially radio people have done, stunts they've done to promote ratings, and maybe didn't go so well. So that's one thing. Also, we could talk a little bit about say the passing of the keyboardist today for the Monkees, and the whole concept of it was a TV show first. Let's make a band for the TV show, and let's hone, perfect their music skills a little bit. But the whole concept of, you know, bands first, then the promotion. The same thing I think someone said was done for New Kids on the Block. It's like, hey, we need a teen band. Let's put some guys together with different skills and make them a band. So we could talk about that. We'll talk a little bit later about some of the things going on in sports news. Some stations are losing their franchises, just the franchises are breaking records for success. But that and many more. But first, let's play Jeff's radio industry news.
I'm Jeff Bennett for All Things Radio, and here's what's happening in the world of broadcasting. Cumulus sells 6 to EMF, swaps radio stations with Endicom, while Cox Media sells its TV, radio stations, and newspapers in Dayton, Ohio. We'll let you know what's happening on the street and provide you with some cord-cutting news. It was yet another busy week in the world of broadcasting, with Cumulus Media and Cox Enterprises making news. Let's first take a look at Cumulus Media, which sold 6 of its radio stations to EMF Broadcasting and swapped radio stations with Endicom. Those who aren't familiar with EMF Broadcasting, EMF Broadcasting is the owner of 2 Christian radio formats, and they own radio stations throughout the United States. The big format here is Caleb, which owns Christian radio stations throughout the United States, and they also own Air One, which is the Christian rock formatted radio service. Now let's take a look at this deal in more detail. First of all, let's take a look at New York, where EMF Broadcasting is gaining WPLJ-FM. They transmit on a frequency of 95.5 with a hot adult contemporary format. Next in line is WRQX-FM in Washington, D.C., programming a hot adult contemporary format, transmitting on a frequency of 107.3. In Atlanta, Georgia, EMF Broadcasting is gaining 106.7 WYAY-FM with a talk format. And in San Jose, California, they're acquiring radio station KFFG-FM with a hot adult contemporary format, 102.1 WZAT-FM serving Savannah, Georgia with a hot adult contemporary format, as well as 105.9 WXTL-FM, The Rebel in Syracuse, New York, with a classic rock rock format. However, there's a second part to this deal involving Endicom and Cumulus, with Cumulus swapping radio stations with Endicom, and here's how this all plays out. Cumulus will be swapping the following radio stations. In the New York City market, WNSH-FM, they're licensed to Newark, New Jersey, and they transmit on a frequency of 94.7 with a country and western format. Also on 94.7, Cumulus is swapping away radio station WMAS-FM, licensed to Springfield, Massachusetts, WHLL-AM with its FM translator on 98.1, licensed to Springfield, Massachusetts, with a country western format. What about Endicom? Endicom is swapping the following radio stations in Indianapolis, Indiana, to Cumulus for the radio stations they gained in Massachusetts and New York. In Indianapolis, Indiana, Cumulus is gaining the following radio stations: WZPL-FM with a hot adult contemporary format, 107.9 The Mix, WNTR-FM, as well as WXNT-AM. They transmit on a frequency of 1430. And in the news concerning this deal, Cumulus will obtain the intellectual rights of the radio stations that they've sold to EMF Broadcasting. But what about Endicom? How do they benefit from this deal? First of all, let's take a look at New York City, where they're gaining radio station WNSH-FM in New York City. The station is licensed in New Jersey. However, they're going to upgrade the signal for this radio station, moving the station's antenna to Lyndhurst, New Jersey, on one of the towers of radio station WOR-AM, which is owned and operated by iHeartMedia. This benefits WNSH listeners because they'll have a better radio signal into New York City. And they're also changing the signal contour of radio station WMAS-FM, also on 94.7, licensed to Springfield, Massachusetts, allowing for better coverage of radio station WNSH-FM in New York City. We'll let you know how this all plays out in the future All Things Radio podcast. But what of Cumulus' remaining stations in New York City and Washington, D.C.? Cumulus is probably not going to keep radio station WABC-AM and their only other FM station in New York City, WNBN-FM, with its urban contemporary format. Expect those radio stations to be sold, and according to reliable sources, Salem could be the buyer for radio station WABC-AM in New York City with its talk format. Of course, we'll also let you know about this in a future All Things Radio podcast as well. In other news, Cox Enterprise, the parent company of Cox Media, has sold its radio stations, newspapers, and television stations, as well as all of its TV stations, to Apollo Global Management. When the sale is completed, Cox Media will retain a minority interest in Apollo Global Management and continue to run the TV stations that they're selling off, as well as the radio stations in Dayton, Ohio. Here's how this deal all plays out. The television stations include WSB-TV in Atlanta, WFTV and WRDQ-TV in Orlando, Florida, WSOC-TV and WAXN-TV in Charlotte, North Carolina, WPXI-TV in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, as WHIO-TV in Dayton, Ohio, KIRO-TV in Seattle, Washington, WHBQ-TV in Memphis, Tennessee, as well as WFOX-TV in Jacksonville, Florida, WFXT-Television in Boston, Massachusetts, KOKI-TV, and WMYT-Television in Tulsa, Oklahoma, as well as sales and programming services for WJAX-TV in Jacksonville, Florida. On the radio side, Apollo Funds will retain control of the following radio stations in Dayton, Ohio: Classic Hits WZLR-FM, Country Radio Station WHKO-FM, and News Talk Radio Station WHIO-AM. Now let's take a quick look and find out what's happening on the street. Endicom is shuffling their morning teams on radio station KMLE-FM in Phoenix, Arizona, and KOOL-FM, also in Phoenix, Arizona. Maria Knight and Chad Mitchell will move their morning show from Oldies Radio KOOL-FM to Country Radio Station KMLE-FM. Nico Petro, on the other hand, is moving from KMLE-FM to Cool FM, which programs a classic hits format. In other news, iHeartMedia has ceased programming a translator, a 104.5 in Houston, Texas, with an urban contemporary format. They've ended the lease on this translator with Central Cristiano, and we'll let you know more about this in a future All Things Radio podcast. In other news, a radio station which we featured on an earlier All Things Radio podcast, WIAD-FM 94.7 The Drive, has hired a new morning host. His name is Jason Kidd, and he comes to radio station WIAD-FM in Washington, D.C., after handling afternoon drive programming chores at radio station WRQX-FM in Washington, D.C., which is owned and operated by Cumulus. Cumulus is also making changes at radio station KNBR-AM in San Francisco, California, with its all-sports format. They're adding Mark Willard for nights. Mark Willard will be handling the evening shift from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. after working at Sports Radio 1360 in San Diego, California. Finally, the Oakland Athletics have found a new home for its baseball team in Oakland, California, on radio station KTRB-AM. The station transmits on a frequency of 860 and programs a news talk format. If you plan to cut the cord, here are some cord-cutting news tips for you. If you love the show Cash Cab, which is one of my favorite TV shows that used to air in the day, you can watch it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week via Pluto TV. Locast, the company that allows you to watch local TV channels in selected markets, is now available as an app for your Fire TV. Locast is available in such markets as New York City, Denver, Colorado, Washington, D.C., Baltimore, Maryland, Chicago, Illinois, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and Houston, Texas. And according to Locast, they're going to continue adding more local markets during the year. Finally, according to media monitors, Here are the top commercials you heard on the radio this past week. Number one was Geico Insurance, followed by Indeed, the employment recruiting firm, AutoZone, Home Depot, and McDonald's. If you have any comments concerning this portion of the podcast, there are many ways you can get in touch with me. First of all, you can send me an email. My email address is Jeff. That's J-E-F-F, Jeff, at allthingsradio.net. Or you can send me a voicemail with our feedback line. The phone number is 800-693-0595. That's 800-693-0595. And hit option 2 for the podcast team. For All Things Radio, I'm Jeff Bennett.
So, Jeff, what do you think WABC would sell for?
Oh, I have no idea. I would have said upward of $25 to $50 million at one point, but I don't know if they're as valuable as they were back then because they're only an AM station at this point. That's going to be the biggest problem. How do you sell this AM station in New York if you don't have any FMs to go with it? The WNBN, I believe they're on 103.9. They really serve Westchester County. They're licensed to Bronxville, which is a city in Westchester County that borders the Bronx, New York. They don't have a signal that goes into New York. I don't know what they would sell WABC for, but I believe that it would be interesting, Mike, because Salem would definitely take up WABC because then they could switch their conservative talk format, which is on 970 at 5,000 watts, to 50,000 watts on 770. They'd have a base for all of their syndicated programming, such as Mike Gallagher and Med, and all the other Salem shows, along with, I believe, along with any of the local shows that they produce. I don't really get to listen to Salem talk all that much.
Well, so I don't think you're missing much. But
no, I don't think so either.
No, you're not missing
much. Unfortunately, I don't know what WABC would sell for, but I do know that it would be a feather in the cap for Salem. They already have WMCA on 570 with their religious teaching, and they could take WWDJ on 970 and put maybe they might want to put Spanish talk on or Spanish Christian programming on there. We really don't know. So that's the only thing I could say.
There's a rumor mill, right, where you have, what's going to happen to some of these stations. The rumors, they'll probably take Indianapolis 93.9 and maybe switch it to a soft hits, but time will tell, I guess. We'll see what happens with these.
If I remember right, didn't WOR only sell for $3 million? So maybe ABC might be like a $5 or $6 million range? Because if I remember right, I think that's what Clear Channel or iHeart bought them for was $3 million. Years ago.
I thought that's a little low, Sean, but you might be right. I don't have the number in my head. It's going to be interesting because these AM stations, let's just quickly say it this way. If for example, now that Intercom is going to run 94.7, people are saying, well, why wouldn't they switch that to all news? Because it would take away the audience from either one of those news stations on the AM and put it on the FM, and now they've got an AM station to deal with that may not have the audience. And right now, I'm not sure that they're looking to lose that at this point. And the other thing is, if run properly, country music can provide a revenue stream at this point for Intercom. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. They won't be able to call it Nash FM, and they won't keep the call it as WNSH FM. I don't think Intercom really cares too much about that. And the only reason that they're interested in keeping WMAS in Springfield, Massachusetts, is to and WNSH, or what it will be in the future, and they want to change the contour of WNSH to get better into New York, and they're also going to change some contours for Springfield, Massachusetts, so that NSH will have better coverage into the New York City area. That was the other big thing that they were talking about. And so that's
all. Like I said last week, probably the Wolf. That's what a lot of the Intercom country stations are. So
that's true. Mike, you're going to talk about one more thing, and then we'll get on to our next segment. And with the big news, and really is big news, it's the Jesse Smollett. Well, I would call it a problem for him, not for anyone else. But you know what I'm saying, Mike?
Well, certainly. Yeah. We want to use the word alleged. That's what we were taught in journalism. We always use the word alleged. But he was arrested today for allegedly creating his own, what's the word we want to call it?
Media incident. Circus?
Incident, yes.
Yeah,
his incident. Well, I think the interesting thing is, remember when all this kind of stuff first started and you had either hate crimes or sexual things, and people would say, oh, they're trying to get publicity, whoever they were, whether it be a woman on a sexual thing or an alleged hate crime or something. The last 5 years when these things started to come more front and center. This is the first time, really, in all this that this has been A, proven, or B, actually probably even happened. I mean, people don't do that.
No, it's actually
a gamble.
It's not the first time.
Savage, if you listen to him, which is kind of an out there podcast called the Savage Love Cast, but he talked about, and he writes a blog post, but he talked about there have been five of these very specifically kind of gay related,
It was a cake here in Austin at Whole Foods. that happened, whether somebody wrote a gay slogan on a cake and they tried to sue Whole Foods. That was the big one here.
Yeah, but what I was talking about is at the beginning, they used to say all these people were publicity seekers, you know, the women or other people that were right. alleging these incidents. And I think this is the only one I can remember, at least in the last 5 years. Maybe some of the hate crimes that are not related to celebrities have drawn that kind of thing. And that I'm not so aware of.
But I think this thing, instead of helping him out, I really believe
it's killing him. It's going to kill him. It's going to kill him.
It's really hurt his career because
the sad part about it is that people who actually are victims of hate crimes are going to be less believed. And that's the part about it.
Well, and another thing too is when he got, you know, after they interviewed the suspects, the original suspects, the eyes turned on him fairly quickly. And I'm going to say this, you know, I was one of the few who actually was suspicious from the get-go when the first stories came out. I thought something just didn't smell
right. Well, video's worth a thousand words, and it was a WBBM that had footage of these guys going in and buying the...
since discovered that it was actually just a red hat. These were not Make America Great Again hats. They were just red hats.
Well, the other part of the problem is these two people worked with him on they were involved with the show that he's involved with and Fox. Mm-hmm. So first of all, Fox has to play a very gentle way of how they're going to handle this.
He has a very, very high profile attorney. So from what I understand, they're already going to go. Their issue is not his innocence or guilt, but the way that information was leaked.
The other part of the problem, I think what's going to happen is Fox will get rid of him. But they will do it quietly, and they will pay him money. You know that they say, there used to be an old Denison Clothes commercial in New York City, and they would say, money talks and nobody walks.
That's right.
They will pay him a certain amount of sum, and they're gonna say, please, here's the money we're giving you. Shut up. Go away. That's what's going to happen, I think.
I think you're right, Jeff. I think you're so right.
So I think my point of bringing that story was, if there are any other you know of, promotions, things that people did, stunts, whatever you want to call it, that do try to either improve their ratings or increase their salaries or renew their contracts, that maybe backfired.
Well, I'm not that familiar with Quixie and Dixie in Atlanta, Mike, but there was a very famous radio promotion guy who worked there. His name is Jerry Bloom, and he passed away at the age of 86, I believe, this week. And he was known for doing crazy things. And one of the things was throwing turkeys off a pickup truck and having people dash to grab them to win prizes.
Oh, but the old catch it and keep it, like on the National Lampoon.
That's right. Unfortunately, it got out of hand, and it was a bit messy. But he continued working at the radio station up until its days of dropping Top 40 in 1986. And they were a number one radio station. And as a matter of fact, the turkey incident was revealed or rewritten into the show WKRP because the people involved with WKRP also knew about the promotion guy at Quixie and Dixie and used a lot of those ideas in their episodes.
Oh, classic. As God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly.
The incident in Sacramento with the water drinking.
Hold Your Wee for a Wee. That was the name of the thing. The thing was called Hold Your Wee for a Wee. And
was
it? Two or three people got in trouble and the FCC yanked their license.
But Endicom did not lose its license over that incident. The FCC, they did not lose the license. However, they voluntarily turned the license into the FCC because they knew that they were going to merge with CBS, and they didn't want to have that being
over their heads. Yeah,
a problem. But
the
station,
was it not off the air for quite a while? I mean,
they actually never went off the air until they turned the license in, Mike. That's what happened. Okay. They turned the license in, but that's an example of somewhat of irresponsibility and. A lot of things people do in radio are interesting. Like, for example, the astronauts of the shuttle, Emperor Hudson worked at, where was it? Remember it was W1510 when they were doing talk, Chris? It was WITS.
Yeah, WITS, yep.
And Emperor Hudson was working there. He was the classic radio announcer, worked with Ron Landry out in California. He was doing mornings there. And he said a joke, and he said, and the shuttle astronauts were freebasing Tang. And that got him fired. And, you know, it's not that it was so horrible in the sense but sometimes you see something as being very funny and you just don't think, and it happens and you get fired. So it happened.
I was going to say the takeaway I think from that one is, you know, be careful what you say on the air nowadays.
Well, that's certainly true. And the other one was the big Bob Dayton interview thing on WABC where he said we're celebrating playing our oldies and we're going to go back to in honor of the bombing of Hiroshima, which was the anniversary that day back in 1965. He did this. We're going to play the following song, and it was Happy Birthday by the Crest. Now, I don't think he meant it harmfully.
It's 16 candles. Yeah, right.
It was a joke that he was. Yeah. But the vice president, the president of ABC, his wife heard it with the kids in the car and got upset, called her husband. He was fired and his career was never the same. So as I was talking to you, Mike, on the phone, remember to think before you speak when you're working with radio.
The problem is, and those of us who worked at radio, sometimes you hear something and you're on the radio and you need something to say. And before you know it, you blurt out something that you heard, someone else's punchline, whatever. It just happens. The story of WAKY Louisville, someone who said, played the Bellamy Brothers, Let Your Love Flow, and said, okay, as long as you clean up afterward. And that was the end of it.
You have your hand raised, Pam. So go ahead, please.
Hi, Jeff. I just wanted to say that, you know, this whole thing with Smallwood or whatever his name is, it's awful. You know, why is it people can't be happy with him? Shows today, whatever they have to look forward to in their lifetime.
Well, we were talking before the show. Apparently, his career, there was talk that he might be dumped from the show, and I think he was grasping at a straw. Correct.
True.
Okay, hold on. First of all, we have to move on at some point. So we're going to let Pam talk, and then we'll go to our next segment. Go ahead, Pam.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that, unfortunately, here in our very area, there is a woman in Fresno who is alleging she's a county supervisor candidate, and she is alleging that she has received sexual hate mail, and Dave is saying, I hope this isn't a new trend for publicity, because if she has it, she should be going to the police, not
if they see what happens to this guy. They won't be doing that. You know, it does happen. It's not like people don't do things like this. So 9 times out of 10, as I said, basically it's proven to be true or at least believable. But this, you know, the guy just totally screwed it up and he had it staged and he deserves what he gets.
Okay.
I do want to
move on quickly because we do have a lot in the podcast and we want to keep it going. Bill, go ahead, Bill.
Real quick. Yeah. The city of Chicago, they're pushing for him to go to jail for at least 3 years. It's a mandatory 3-year sentence for filing a false report in the state of Illinois. And the superintendent of police and them, I know they're pushing for maximum prison time for him.
I don't think he'll see jail time.
I disagree, Jeff.
He'll get jail time. He's going to get jail time. And you watch. He's not going to be on the show next week or in a couple of weeks. So they're filming tonight here in Chicago because they followed him around. They're filming the Empire here tonight. But you watch, in 2 weeks, he won't be in that show.
Did you notice this? We do have to get going on for the next segment. But did you notice that his bail was set at $100,000? And I don't think if it wasn't for the fact that this was a false report and if it was just a John Doe, me or you, it would have never gotten. But because he's so high profile now.
God.
They certainly have made it. They made it an issue now.
Well, but the time and the manpower that was put into it by default.
I think he'll go to jail.
They got people ticked
What it depends upon, Jeff, is whether he goes to jail or not. From what I was watching this morning, is does he have any prior record? If he does not,
yes, he has one in California.
He may go to jail if he's got a prior record.
Doing a false statement in California too.
Okay,
a couple years ago or so.
We'll see what happens. Dave, would you go? We want to thank Dave Riekert, who's helping us out here. Dave, how about if we get on with Jennifer's call and her format changes, and we can talk a little bit more after that.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jennifer Sparks, and here are your call letter and format changes for the week of February 21st. WCSR 1340, Hillsdale, Michigan, changes network provider from Westwood One Adult Contemporary to Westwood One Light AC. WCSR FM 92.1, Hillsdale, Michigan, changes network provider from Westwood One Adult Contemporary to Westwood One Light AC. 93.9 Circle, Alaska, signs on as KRLL-FM. WAUA 100.3 Waverly, Alabama, signs on with a country format. WBFH 88.1 Bloomfield Hills, Michigan, changes format from CHR to variety. WEXP 101.5 Brandon, Vermont, changes format from adult contemporary to classic hits. WKCR FM 89.9 Newark, New York, changes format from adult alternative to variety. WLMA AM 1050 Alexander City, Alabama, changes format from classic country to country and changes calls to WSGN AM. WBBL FM 107.3 Greenville, Michigan, changes calls to WTNR FM. WYEA 1290 Sylacauga, Alabama, changes format from classic hits to country and changes slogan from Yay 106.5 to Kix 100.3. WZQQ AM 1390 Hazard, Kentucky, changes calls to WKIC AM. WNDT FM 92.5 Alachua, Florida, changes calls to WNDD FM. WKIC FM 97.9 Hyden, Kentucky, changes calls to WZQQ FM. 93.7 Wickenburg, Arizona, signs on as KFJE FM. WAFC FM 106.1 Okeechobee, Florida, changes calls to WLMX FM. WMCD 106.5 Rocky Ford, Georgia, changes format from sports to country and changes slogan from ESPN 106.5 to 106.5 The Borough. WNBH 1340 New Bedford, Massachusetts, changes format from sports to classic hits and changes slogan from ESPN Sports 1340 to Big 101.3. WPMX 94.9 Millen, Georgia, changes format from country to adult contemporary and changes slogan from Best Country 94.9 WHKN to Eagle 94.9. WPTB 850 Statesboro, Georgia, changes format from sports to CHR and changes slogan from CBS Sports Radio to number 99.7. WVOF 88.5 Fairfield, Connecticut, changes format from adult alternative to variety. WWNS 1240 Statesboro, Georgia, changes format from classic rock to news and adds slogan Fox News 107.7. The following stations have signed off the air: KDKL 88.3 Poling, California, WJCY 91.5 Cicero, Indiana, KGGR 1040, Dallas, Texas, WVTT 96.7, Portsville, New York. And those are your call letter and format changes for this week for All Things Radio. I'm Jennifer Sparks, wishing all of you a good week.
All right. Thank you very much, Jennifer. A very good job, as well as done as always. Nothing, I don't think anything that I see spectacular in the call letter and format changes this particular week, but it's going to be interesting to see what happens as the weeks go by. But I do see the big thing in radio, and we haven't talked about this, but just briefly I would like to say is that I think this is going to be the year of more and more and more consolidation. You're already seeing it through two deals with Cumulus and Cox Media and Entercom. I think you're going to see more of this, especially once iHeartMedia gets out of bankruptcy. They may be doing some consolidation as well.
Well, did you see the story today that said that the reason they're now lobbying for that is that the new marketing trend, so that people who spend on media in the next 4 years, by 2023, like 3/4 of it will be specifically for online media as opposed to radio and TV. So
I did see that. Digital media, they said it, but by 2023 is going to definitely overtake or be close to overtaking online regular media as we know it today. So that's going to be a very interesting scenario, because what does that say for the future of radio at this point? You and I can't
answer that. And it sounds like, Jeff, that iHeart is going to do more in the way, too, of podcasting as well. That I saw that story today.
And the other thing that you see is that Sirius XM Satellite Radio is going to be adding some playlist channels. So kind of like Pandora has, so that, for example, they're going to augment their regular channels. There'll be an augmented 90s playlist channel. There'll be a yoga workout channel. And they're all, this is now because Sirius XM Satellite Radio own Pandora, and they're going to meld some of the elements of Pandora into the service. And those new channels will be ad-free.
And apparently they have already done that both on their app, but no, it won't be on your Sirius XM radio. It'll be on the app, and eventually maybe through your home speakers, you know, like your Amazon device, your Google device, something like that.
That's correct,
Perry. And you're already seeing some of the live stream, you know, the streams show up in the ratings, like down in a lot of markets at like the 0.1, 0.2s already in several markets.
Now, I got an email asking me what happened to the personal people meter ratings. I am not able to get them anymore because the source that I use is no longer publishing them on the internet. That's Tom Taylor's Radio Report, which we told you is gone. And the other magazine that does it where I can get them from is they send them out as scanned images, so that when you look at each market and you click on that link, it's the image of the page from like a newspaper or whatever. And I cannot get the JAWS or any of the screen reading software with their OCR package to read that. So I'm going to have to figure out what I can do about that, but I cannot read it right now. So
I think there's a service called 100,000watts.com where if you pay for that service, you might be able to get them that way. So,
well, I may have to do that. Mike, was something else you wanted to throw out?
I wanted to throw out the, this I thought was interesting. A record was been broken or tied, I should say. Ariana Grande has the top 2-3 songs in the Billboard Hot 100, and that has not been done since the Beatles in 1964. So that was a 5-week run. But I wonder, is it really equal in the sense that, you know, back then songs went 7-8 weeks, maybe 12 to 16 if they were really popular. But now, top 40, A New Country, those songs stay on the charts for 40 weeks. So,
yeah, no, it's a lot. Actually, it's funny. Things go around, and it's a little like the 50s. You'd have a song like 16 Tons came out in maybe August of 55 and was still on the charts in January, February, because things just didn't move because there weren't as many records sold. There weren't as many records released. Yes, it's a whole other thing when in the height of it in the 60s and 70s, rock songs basically were on the charts for about 8 weeks. And when the Beatles did that domination in, February, March, April of 64, that was really unbelievable. And I think the Four Seasons and Dawn were about the only ones that broke in there even for a few weeks just to break it up slightly. But they really took over as soon as the Ed Sullivan thing, which we just celebrated. They arrived on February 7th, and then the show was February 9th, and they came back February 16th. That cemented it, and that was it. And then they just controlled the charts for the next 5-6 weeks.
But the other thing, the Beatles, they would buy, they would have, entities representing them would buy up the records to automatically propel their songs quickly.
What do you mean? Can't Buy Me Love? Is that what you're trying to tell me? Okay. All
right. Number one.
But the other thing is, Mike, is you're right about one thing. You don't see new music coming out as quickly. So if something's on the charts, it's going to be on there for a year. I mean, I've heard the same songs and they say they're in the top 20 or top 40, and they're on there for like weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks, not like it used to be.
The average now is 40, and we know that is a downside to having corporatized radio, where you don't have individual program. I mean, you have them, but the individual music directors, folks like myself, that, you know, a few thousand people out there making their own decisions, and the magazines tabulating those and having a more accurate representation. Although even then we would rank a top 40, but maybe I read this and I kind of agree, maybe 15 songs. There were certain songs we kind of felt passionately about. We thought was a good song. We're getting female callers, or people were going out and buying the music. And the other 25 were just kind of fluff and position fillers. And we moved them up if we thought they had that good feel vibe, you know, but,
Jerry, did you have any memories? I'm sorry.
Yeah, I did. I was going to comment, you're talking about, you know, the Beatles being on the Ed Sullivan Show on February 9th. I'll never forget that night. It was totally different. I remember my father. My mother and my brother and I watched it. My father, he had to leave the room. He didn't like their long hair. He said, that's not a decent thing for a Catholic family to watch. He was a little put out with us for a while.
I remember because I had my grandmother's my grandfather's brother had passed away when that was happening, and we wanted to watch it, and my dad said, well, you know, because I'm Jewish, your parents, you know, your grandfather sitting shiva, and he said, go ahead, let them watch the Beatles. They're never going to be able to see this again in their lifetime. And we did get to watch it, and I will tell you that was pretty cool of my grandfather, because he would normally never have done that, but he saw the importance of the Beatles. So
and the Rolling Stones, right? With that Ed Sullivan, where they had to change it to "Let's Spend Some Time Together" instead of
I can't remember. I don't think they said it to Ed Sullivan they would, and I don't think they did. I think that's what happened. I forget how the story went, but he certainly urged them to change it to "Let's Spend Some Time Together."
Well, you have to remember the '60s was a time of turbulence and craziness. I remember when the coup were on the Smothers Brothers Comedy Hour, and they smashed their guitars and amplifiers on the show. So, you know, it was a time of rebellion and a time of change in music. It wasn't cool to listen to Top 40 later on in the 60s. It was cool to listen to progressive rock. The Charles Lacuaderas were getting their start back then. You know, when you know what I'm saying, Chris. So it was
VCN. Yep. Mm-hmm.
It was a time of change, which, you know, some of the younger people who listen to the podcast may not realize, but there was a big schism between AM and FM, and because the FCC mandated FM separation back in 1965 or early 66, stations had to find something to put on FM, and it wasn't, and Beautiful Music wasn't going to cut it for every single radio station. So that's why it was done the way it was done. So that, you know, that's why I can say that it was definitely a time of turbulence in broadcasting. So, you know, it definitely is an interesting situation, to say the least.
Jeff. This is Mike in Aventura. I couldn't believe it when you mentioned about, well, WABC maybe being so DeSalem Media. I mean, in my time, I would never think of something like that. I mean, that's really different.
That's the demise of AM radio.
You know, you look at 590 in Boston, Mike, and you're familiar with it, and you know it was it used to be a CBS-owned and operated station. And now they're a Christian station. They've been owned by Salem for 22 years. Yeah. I mean, the mighty frequencies aren't as mighty anymore because the AM isn't as mighty anymore. I go by there and I say, oh, my God, you know, I could this time of day I'd be listening to this or that. The old days, you know, when I was a kid. And now there's this stuff. And, you know, it's just the way it's going. It's just the media is changing, and AM, you know, the mighty frequencies, and they're still going to have a great signal, and they're going to want to do something with that. I'm wondering what the other cumulus like WJR and them, are they going to do anything? Or are they going to stay with those stations?
Well, yeah. I do believe, you know, it wouldn't surprise me. The other rumor that's going around is that Cumulus is going to buy up the Cox radio stations that are going to be sold, and they're going to merge them into one company. And Cumulus may get out of the big markets and stay in the smaller and medium sized markets where they know they can actually make more money right now. Like I said, why would they sell WPLJ and in New York and WRQX in Washington, D.C.? Because they know they can get money for it. And even though they went bankrupt, Chris, they are still $1.1 billion in debt, and they need money. They need money to to survive. And the only way you survive is when you start getting rid of the
And WABC is doing as well as probably WJR, or certainly KNBR is always in the top five in San Francisco. So
yeah, WABC is not doing well in New York. That's the thing. Yeah. It's not number one. It's not doing well. It's not. It's certainly not. And same thing with WOR. They haven't learned that New York doesn't like syndicated programming, and they keep putting that syndicated garbage on. That's why, and that's why WBZ is still doing fairly well, because they didn't make it a dumping ground for the premier radio network programming. That's why they're doing as well as they're doing. But again, that could change tomorrow. We don't, you know, what's here today is gone tomorrow. And when they love you today, they're going to hate you tomorrow.
You look at what happened to poor WPHT. You know, it used to be WCAU with a great talk format. It had a good news format. It had this and that, local programming. And that's a dumping ground. You know, that really, there's not much happens on that station now.
Well, unfortunately, due to time constraints, we probably need to keep moving and play our next segment here.
Yeah, why don't we play the WFLA segment, Dave?
In September of 85, new news director Bud Falder named me co-anchor of the 6 and 11 o'clock news with Bob. We premiered in October, and, well, as you can see, we're still together. At this point, Bill Ratliff helps us finish the musical chairs story.
Remember, Bill and I were the co-anchors when Gail came in, so Bill moved to field anchoring and became our political specialist for several years.
And in March of 1984, the station had launched an early morning newscast from 6:30 a.m. to 7, anchored by Jerry Fiore. And when Jerry left in 1987, I took over the morning and noon newscasts and really kind of found my home. I co-anchored with Barbara Callahan, along with Jim Smith, who we all loved, and in September of 1989, that morning show was expanded to 1 hour from 6 to 7. Yolanda Fernandez, who joined our ranks in 1989, became my co-anchor in the early 90s.
Then in September of 88, the station added a whole new one-hour weekday newscast, Live at 5, anchored by three newcomers to our market, Wes Sargentson, Marissa Morris, and our beloved Chris Thomas, along with David Grant, who had arrived in 86. That Live at 5 team was together for about 5 years.
We'd been using helicopters for years, but in 1985, we acquired our very own. The Eagle, with reporter Dennis Roper, became an indispensable tool for faster response to breaking news.
We also acquired our first satellite truck, and in 87, we finished construction of a new, taller, and more powerful transmitter.
Meteorologist Bob Barron helped viewers get through Hurricane Elena, which stalled off our coast Labor Day weekend, 1985. And after all of our Skyway stories, we were there when the new Skyway opened in 1987.
Space specialist Craig Smith covered the aftermath of the Challenger explosion in 86. And in 88, he and Bob were at the Cape when Discovery put shuttles back in space.
Slowly at first, the mighty bird rose, ascending into the sky. And back in the nest, our hopes rose too. Our Eagle again can fly.
We asked Irene Mayer, Steve Andrews, and Steve Overton to join us with some other stories from and about the 80s.
In 1984, I became the 8 on Your Side consumer reporter, which then meant doing kind of soft features with nothing really getting solved for people. But that changed dramatically in 1985 when Bud Falter, the news director, said to me, Overton, I want victims, villains, and resolutions. So for about 3 years, 8 on Your Side stories aired in the 6 p.m. news on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays consistently for high visibility. Then in 1988, our next news director, John Butte, reassigned me to field anchoring for the Live at 5 show. And Joe Ducey took over 8 on Your Side until 1993. Then when Joe left, that feature came back to me until 2000 when I left the station. Steve?
In 87-88, we uncovered a massive case of criminal racketeering involving the nation's 17th largest Ford dealer, Big John Naughton Ford. They were selling warranties that didn't exist, used high-pressure sales, and misled people about financing costs. It ended with 4 arrests, restitution to the victims, and the dealership shut down. Then we looked into the state's foster care system. We heard the state ran out of foster homes and placed abused and neglected children into the detention center or jail, where kids accused of brutal crimes were also housed. We received the industry's highest award for this investigation. Reenie?
I have
arrived in 1985 as the new medical reporter, just in time to cover one of the first heart transplants at Tampa General Hospital. I co-anchored the noon news with Jerry Fiore and then with Bill Ratliff. Then I went to the weekend 6 and 11 p.m. newscasts for about 7 years, and I worked with several different co-anchors, including
Tampa Tonight,
Dennis Roper, Byron Pitts, Frank Fravoni, and Mike Walters. And then when Marissa Morris left Live at 5, I took her spot until 2000, when I assumed the title of managing editor of Medical News.
Back when I was still doing a little bit of sports, I had my dream come true in December of 1987, becoming the first woman to ever do play-by-play for an NFL football game.
The pitch to Herman Hurd. Hurd moves ahead, gets that pass to first.
It was the Seahawks against the Kansas City Chiefs. In 1988, I co-anchored as part of the backup crew doing NFL Live in New York, the pregame shows. I did this for 4 Sundays in September. That's because the regular anchors were in Seoul, South Korea for the Olympics.
During my feature reporting days in the 80s, I did nautical news in 8 countries, going to the Tortugas and sailing on the HMS Bounty to Panama were among my favorite nautical news assignments. 8 Country was a weekly feature within the newscast and a half-hour program on Sunday nights. The concept was to show the positive side of the Bay Area. We'd get in the truck and drive until we found an interesting person or place to showcase.
From 86 through 90, we produced a wonderful senior show called Time of Your Life, hosted by Pat Glass, and the regulars included Angela Martinez, Sue Sutker, Ingrid Kerrigan, and Dr. Eric Pfeiffer.
In January of 1989, we were able to revert back to our original call letters, WFLA. And reclaiming those heritage call letters, along with our longtime NBC affiliation, will become very important during the 90s.
Check out News Channel 8's timeline. Go to TVO.com. Keyword 50 years.
First half of the 1990s was a time of war, big sports, and killer storms. Bob and I sat down with Diane Pertmer, Dick Crippen, and David Grant to review those years.
When Iraq invaded Kuwait in August of 90, the rest of the world came to know Tampa because of the role MacDill Air Force Base played in planning the war. Even many residents here did not know until the Gulf War that U.S. Central Command was headquartered at MacDill, and General Norman Schwarzkopf was commanding the war from our backyard. Before and after, most of CENTCOM staff moved closer to the action in the Persian Gulf region for Operation Desert Shield. I reported on local troop deployments from MacDill and also on activated reserve units.
In partnership with NBC, WFLA had hired Linda Vester and sent her to Saudi Arabia to cover both Operations Desert Shield and Desert Storm. Afterwards, she left us for NBC in Washington, D.C.
And when General Schwarzkopf returned to Tampa, he was given a hero's welcome and a huge victory parade and rally.
And with your support, we could not lose.
And when Queen Elizabeth II visited Tampa, she conferred an honorary knighthood on General Schwarzkopf.
Now, sports-wise, in January of 91, during the war, we hosted a very patriotic Super Bowl 25. Later that year, hockey arrived as Phil Esposito built the first Tampa Bay Lightning team. They started play at the Fairgrounds, then St. Pete's newly renamed Thunderdome, then, finally, in 96, in their own home in downtown Tampa, the Ice Palace. And the Tampa Bay Rowdy soccer team, which had begun with so much promise in 1975, kicked the grass for the last time and folded in 94.
On August 24, 1992, Category 5 Hurricane Andrew tore into southern Florida at Homestead. With winds in excess of 175 miles per hour and a 17-foot storm surge, it left devastation in its path as it crossed our state.
Within days, Channel 8 produced an Andrew Relief Telethon. The Bay Area rallied to raise funds and supplies for the victims of that dreadful storm.
On March 13th of 1993, we were surprised with a no-name storm. We had warned viewers that severe weather was moving, but nobody, I mean nobody, expected hurricane-force winds and a 12-foot tidal surge. The storm affected our coast from Pensacola to the Keys.
Between 93 and 94, we made some major changes in our identity. Dan Bradley, now Vice President of News for the Media General Broadcast Group, explains.
Our newscast had been expanding since the 80s, and by the time I became news director in 1993, it was pretty clear we were now almost completely in the news business. Channel 8 News had become, in effect, News Channel 8. Additionally, we realized that 8 on Your Side was much bigger than just the name of our consumer unit. Being on your side was what we did every day with our newscasts and our community outreach efforts. So we put the two together and became News Channel 8 On Your Side. And the rest is history.
At 5 minutes after midnight on December 12, 1994, every network affiliate in our market changed networks at the same time. Everyone except us. And that helped us. When viewers couldn't remember what station was what network, they knew that NBC and News Channel 8 were right where they've always been.
Let's go back to Diane Pertmer, Dick Crippen, and David Grant to look at the second half of the 90s.
In 1995, the Glazers bought the Buccaneers, and in 98, the last of the old stadium was imploded to make room for the Bucs' new home, Raymond James Stadium. The Devil Rays became a reality in 95. The Thunderdome was transformed into Tropicana Field, and baseball finally came to Tampa Bay in 98. Gail?
And the New York Yankees built their new spring training facility, Legends Field, in 96.
Helped cover a day of death involving Hank Earl Carr in May of 98. It started in Tampa with the shooting of a four-year-old boy and escalated to the murder of two Tampa police homicide detectives, Rick Childers and Randy Bell. It then became a high-speed chase on I-75 that resulted in the death of FHP trooper James Crooks. It ended with a standoff at a gas station in Hernando County, where Carr took his own life. It was a day that resulted in a tremendous outpouring of community grief, but it also changed how many people viewed law enforcement and the risks and uncertainty they encounter every day.
On November 18th, 1998, what we were told could never happen, happened. The station lost power, not just for a little while, but for better than 12 hours. We put our new satellite truck to work powering cameras in the parking lot behind the building. And that's where Steve Jervey, who had been with us just for a few months, and I did our weather reports for the 5, 6, and 11 o'clock shows.
We anchored our newscast that day from the studios of WTOG. Thankfully, they still had their sets in place. They had just dissolved their whole news department. Timing is everything.
For almost the entire decade, well-known Bay Area radio personality Jack Harris hosted a live audience variety show known as Harris & Company, then Harris Live, and then Harris & Company Live. It originated from Busch Gardens for several years before moving to what was then the Brandon Town Center. The show even went on the road every year to the Florida State Fair and the Strawberry Festival.
In addition to the Gasparilla Parade, we broadcast live coverage of the Festival of States Day Parade from downtown St. Pete from 1993 through 99. During the holidays, the station produced The Sounds of the Season, featuring choral groups from Bay Area high schools, and the 8 on Your Side Awards for Community Service, an end-of-the-year special honoring outstanding volunteers from the Bay Area.
In November of 1993, we started our very own Corps of Volunteers, 8's Army. These wonderful folks help us with community projects, as well as staff our weekday 8 on Your Side helpline.
Just as our number of newscasts grew, so did the number of stations owned by Media General. Jim Zimmerman, president and CEO of our broadcast group, reviews those acquisitions.
For about the first half of its existence, Channel 8 was the only television station Media General owned. Most other Media General properties were newspaper related. In the early 80s, we added stations in Charleston, South Carolina, and Jacksonville, Florida, creating the Media General Broadcast Group. 1997, we acquired 9 stations from Park Communications. In 2000, we acquired an additional 13 stations from Spartan Communications. We sold off or traded a few, so the broadcast group now stands at 26 stations, mostly in the southeastern United States.
Since the 90s weren't so long ago, many of you may remember these former News Channel 8 faces. Mark Strassman, who left us for NBC. Ava Greenwell, Diane Roberts, meteorologist Laura York, Greg Fields, Mary Kay Kleist, and chief meteorologist Steve Udelson.
And we hope you recognize these talented reporters who joined us during the late 80s and through the 90s. Jeff Patterson, Mark Douglas, Samara Sotos, Lance Williams with Tampa Bay People, Victoria Lim, our senior consumer reporter, Jen Lee in our Lakeland Bureau, and Jackie Barron in Sarasota.
And Gail Guayardo and John Winter, who joined Bill Ratliff on the morning and midday newscast. What a team they've made. Gail's viewer connection features have proven extremely popular with early morning viewers. And John, for many years, has been the point man for News Channel 8's very successful Rough Rider Teddy Bear Roundup. They were all with us as we moved into a new century and a new building, the News Center. We're not just a TV station anymore.
WFLA is on the air.
The Big 5-0, News Channel 8. Wow, you could pass for 30. Congratulations.
Congratulations to News Channel 8 for 50 years of excellence.
From all of us at ER,
happy 50th anniversary.
50 and still looking fabulous. Congratulations, News Channel 8.
Happy 50th anniversary from all of us at The Tonight Show.
50 years of FLA. This is our time.
Wow.
That's pretty interesting. You know, it's hard to believe it. But and you know what's so funny, guys? One of the shows I remember watching as a kid, and Chris, you might remember this, just a simple little TV show called The Peter Pan, starring Mary Martin and Cyril Richard. And it was one of the first shows that was videotaped back in 1956, I should say.
55.
And you know what happened to it? It got erased. It got lost. And yes. They can't find that original show anymore.
No, I thought they found it again in 89 and put it on. I think it was gone for a long time, but I'm pretty sure they got it back because I remember my kids watching it one Friday night in 1989, just before
Easter. Your kids come on in 89. I remember that.
Maybe it was somewhere. Kinescope. Maybe they found a Kinescope from somewhere
or
else.
They refurbished it or something. But yeah, they did that live. And of course, it was on Broadway. And Mary Martin, of course, was already famous from South Pacific and went on to do The Sound of Music. But yeah, that was quite a show.
And I don't think people realize, and I'm not a TV person per se, but I've been on some TV shows when I was in Syracuse, when I worked at Easter Seals. And there's a lot of work that went into doing a lot of that stuff in television. And they didn't have the technology that we have today with the satellites and the computers and everything else. I mean, when you did something, you know, everything was done on film. You had to bring it back to a lab. You had to develop it. You had to, and there was videotape really wasn't big until the late 60s, early 70s. It really wasn't. Everything was done on film back in those days. And how many people remember the days when a TV channel, Chris, you might remember this, had a live booth announcer that would say,
We
got next on WFLA.
Yeah. The thing, too, is that of course, it was a national trend. It happened to everybody, and it hit them in the 90s. Because cable had become pervasive, and you could dial around and get your kids' program and get your sports program and get you this, get you that, get you the other, they then all started to say they were the news station. And that's why their shows, we've got one, I think Channel 4 here starts at 4 in the morning. To start to do the coverage that runs up to the CBS This Morning show at 7. And, you know, they're starting earlier and earlier to cover, you know, the traffic, the weather, all the stuff that the radio, you know, used to do. And sometimes some stations do a little bit. But, you know, now TV has taken that over and they're, you know, live and local. That's the whole thing about TV. And that differentiates them from the cable channels.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question.
And I remember.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Sean.
I was going to say, I remember, it was funny hearing all those trends, especially in the 80s, because I remember the expansion of all the investigative reporting and the On Your Side, and like you said, the expansion, because, I mean, up until 85, most places around the country, a lot of places did not really have much of a morning news, and then it just really grew. And you were talking about the filming. Well, a lot of shows that were live, what they did is they would even tape, they would film over those shows. I know, me being a fan of pro wrestling, people go, okay, what's up How come we can't get some of those old wrestling shows from the 60s and 70s? Because they would film over it for old, you know, just redo it. And, you know, and so they just eliminated it.
Well, one part of the problem is it was the cost. There was years ago. There was a guy named Paul Winchell. Does anyone remember? Oh, Chris, you're an old guy like me.
Yeah, Winchell Mahoney. Yeah,
and they had the show called the Winchell Mahoney Time, and he sued Metromedia because they were supposed to save all of those shows, but it cost too much money to save all, and they were on videotape back then, and they didn't have the money to say that they erased the shows, and he sued and lost somehow. But at the time, it made big news because he wanted to save all of those shows for posterity. He wanted them to possibly go into a broadcasting museum of some sort. I mean, that's really what was going on. And a lot, unfortunately, that was not able to be saved because they just didn't know how valuable it would be. Can you imagine if Jackie Gleason hadn't saved all of those Honeymooner Shows episodes of the vault? That's why we have them on reruns today, because he had the foresight to save those shows and those episodes that we see today. But that really wasn't the whole Jackie Gleason show. The Honeymooners segment was really a half-hour subpart of a one-hour variety show.
Here's something to think about too, Jeff, and this is a question I was just thinking about. Imagine if we were trying to do the show 20, 30, 40 years ago. You know, we would all have to actually meet in a studio or have uplink satellites at that point versus how we do it now.
Oh, yeah.
We had a guy down here by the name of Bob Weaver, who was known as Weaver the Weatherman. He was really funny. And when Chuck Zink did his Popeye show, when he wasn't there, they would have Bob Weaver do the show, but they changed the name instead of Bob Weaver to Barnacle Bob. But he was funny.
Well, I know that, and we have to move on. So, Mike, I'm going to bring it over to you, Mike Loft, because a station that you're familiar with or an area that you're familiar with, we're going to feature next, and I want to talk to you about the segment after the show, which is WFNB in Brazil, Indiana, and it's licensed or serving the Terre Haute, Indiana market. So, Dave, I'm going to have you play our next segment. This week, we're traveling to Terre Haute, Indiana, and we're going to listen to radio station WFNB-FM. The station has recently dropped its light adult contemporary format in favor of a rock format, and I think you're going to find the station rather interesting. Normally, I don't provide my opinions when presenting these featured stations. However, in the case of this radio station, I'll provide you my opinion of this radio station after we listen to this rock radio station on this week's edition of the All Things Radio podcast.
Here's the storm team forecast from 92.7 The Rock. Slight chance of a little snow tonight, otherwise cloudy. Overnight low of 20. Becoming sunny tomorrow, the high of 37. Snow redeveloping overnight tomorrow night with a low of 27. And a wintry mix possible on Sunday, 38 for the high. With coverage you can count on from Storm Team Tech, I'm meteorologist Kevin Orton for 92.7 The Rock.
I do not have a bad memory. Can't remember why.
Rock Radio, 92.7 The Rock.
Grace, right, left, wrong. I'm Darby. That's going to do it for me. Thanks for your time. If this is Valentine's Day part two for you, good luck to you, buddy.
No wimpy rock here. 92.7 The Rock. So my lady gave me Tide Pods to eat. She thinks that'll keep my underwear clean. Rock in the Valley, 92.7 The Rock. Where every song is real rock, 92.7 The Rock.
have to row down a river anymore. You found real rock radio. WFNB, Brazil, Terre Haute, Greencastle. 92.7 The Rock, a DLC media station. Hey, when are they going to make the I hate emojis, so stop sending me emojis emoji? Because I think that's an emoji I would probably use. We effin' rock. 92.7 The Rock. WFNB.
Bush, the chemicals between us. Greetings, Rocktornative Radio fam. Thelonious Francine Marconi here. You know, they say a little goes a long way. That definitely does not apply regards to pizza, right? New music now. Here's Pop Evil, the legendary. Pull the trigger, wrap the bullet, cut the coat wrapped around your neck.
Did you hear? Did you hear? You can listen to us anywhere at 927therock.com.
Chili peppers under the bridge.
What?
Melonious Francine Marconi. I've never had a threesome, but this one time I held a cantaloupe while I ate a honey bun. So, kinda.
Your rock station, 92.7 The Rock. Rock radio, 92.7 The Rock.
Are you ready for an exciting new career? I'm Dave Crooks, President and General Manager of VLC Media, Terre Haute's only locally owned media company. I'm looking to hire additional account managers, both full and part-time. If you are motivated to succeed, creative, and work well with people, I invite you to join our fast-growing media company. Account managers work with local business owners. We create radio and digital marketing campaigns designed to help our clients drive more customers to their businesses. Past sales experience is helpful but not required. TLC Media offers competitive pay. It's likely our benefit package is better than what you have now. To apply, send a cover letter and resume to DLC at dlcmediainc.com or drop off the information in person at our offices and studios in either Brazil or Rockville. Learn more about our company at dlcmediainc.com. DLC Media is an equal opportunity employer.
Here's the Storm Team forecast from 92.7 The Rock. Slight chance of a little snow tonight, otherwise cloudy. Overnight low of 20. Becoming sunny tomorrow, the high of 37. Snow redeveloping overnight tomorrow night with a low of 27. And a wintry mix possible on Sunday, 38 for the high. With coverage you can count on from Storm Team 10. I'm meteorologist Kevin Orton for 92.7 The Rock.
I am Bologna's Francine Marconi. I will be your disc jockey. Wait, we're on the air now? At 1-833-M-A-R-C-O-N-I. That is the number? It is the number still. Okay, good. That's 1-833-627-2664. Text your request anytime or just shout into the phone.
And you, I can see through you, seen in the rear.
The official rock station by all the Woodsies. Hey, it's Marconi. Thanks for listening to 92.7 The Rock.
92.7 The Rock.
Five Finger Death Punch Champagne, Bologna's Francine Marconi with a whale fact. Did you know most whales are legally unemployed? Yeah. For more whale facts like this and others, head to whalefacts.org.edu.myspace.com. rock.gov.
No wimpy rock here. 92.7 The Rock.
Obviously, the station is using a satellite-delivered format, which really doesn't sound very good. I have no complaints about the music. Even though it's not my cup of tea, there are many people who like listening to that kind of rock music. And I don't even have a problem with the station using a satellite-delivered format. However, the announcer on this format was probably the most unprofessional radio announcer I have ever heard in my life. Yes, radio should be live and local, but that's not always possible. And this is something we can talk about on All Things Radio Live. Now, if you have any comments concerning this part of the podcast, why don't you let me know about it by email or by voicemail. For All Things Radio, I'm Jeff Bennett. All right, you guys all heard this. I want to talk to you, Mike Law, first, because you're familiar with the radio market, or you're familiar with Indiana radio. What was your impression of that station?
Well, they were doing basically an alt-rock format. They were filling a void in Terre Haute, which is a college town, so I would assume their big audience there would be Indiana State University and Rolls-Hulman, and maybe some folks under 35 who like kind of alt-rock slash 80s, 90s rock, the Guns N' Roses and stuff, and Collective Soul and stuff in that realm. Yeah, that's a different style. I mean, I've heard alt-rock people try to do that. It's a little bit forced. It's not my style, but I see he's filling a void there. My understanding is Mr. Crooks, some of his stations aren't doing too well financially, but I worked for him. He and Mark Lang took over the station that I'd worked for, so I had a little work history with him. He eventually discontinued my services, so no hard feelings too much there. We had kind of one of those duopolies where, I think the duopoly is the word, where for a while, until they took ownership of the station, they managed it, and I worked for the original company, the Green Broadcasting, kind of until that part came to an end. But Kevin Orpard, the guy doing the weather, interesting story. They used to do a thing where different people in the community would say, "Hey, Kevin, tell me about the weather." And I remember getting a big laugh out of him. I said, "So tell me, you meteorological madman, what can we expect for the weekend?" You know, and he didn't see that one coming and live on the air. It's got a nice laugh out of him. But so, yeah, I don't know what kind of signal they have into Terre Haute, you know, but it's enough. I think they're going to go after all college crowd. They referred a lot to the river, and you may have heard the river on here before. We had Danny Wayne doing 98.5 The River, the classic rock. So that's obviously who they're going after. Hoping that some of those people who listen to that would rather listen to maybe slightly newer stuff, more of an alt rock field. So,
the only thing I would say is it's not that he was a bad radio. It was just not my cup of tea the way he presented the music. But maybe there are people who like that. There was a 724. Go ahead, you raise your hand.
Yeah, probably like you guys said, it's probably good for the college crowd. It wasn't my cup of tea either. I wouldn't listen to it, but, it appeals to somebody. And another question I have, Jeff, you'd know this. We were talking about the Honeymooners a while back. They were mentioned. Does Channel 11 in New York, WPIX, still have that marathon all day New Year's that they used to do with the Honeymooners?
I do believe they do. We're going to be running short here if we're not careful. Yep. Bill, you had your hand raised.
Jeff, I'm a little older than you guys. You mentioned the Honeymooners. You know, the Honeymooners first came on, he was in New York City before he went to the Fountain Blue in Miami. And the June Taylor Dancers used to open his show. And most people would know, if you look at the TV, if you ever see a segment of the June Taylor Dancers, the far girl on the right was Duke Ellington's daughter. And his honeymoon is usually about 10 or 15 minutes long in the original shows because he had like Reginald Van Gleason, where he was a rich guy and his train would bring his drinks out to him and that. Then he had Joe the bartender, and eventually he had Frankie Fontaine on there.
Right.
His Crazy Guggenheim. But his original shows weren't half hour long with Honeymooners. That developed after he went on farther into the Fountain Blue down in Miami. Oh.
See, I thought those Honeymooners, that the long ones that we see, were from about 55, 56 when he, the first show, because he left TV for a while, and then he came to the one you're talking, then 63 and 64 in Miami.
Right.
And I thought that the longer Honeymooners were about 55 or 6.
They were. I don't remember.
I will tell you that as shows go, and I don't get to watch them all the time, but I think that those were every time I watch one of those shows, and my dad and I used to watch those shows, and he would tell me what was going on visually, because my dad was my audio describer, and he understood about audio description long before they even thought about audio description. He would sit there and describe the movies to me,
And you know, I've got every one of those honeymoon shows.
And yeah. Said to go to my mom. So your father explained to you what happened when Art Carney addressed the ball, eh?
That's,
hello, ball.
That is exactly, that is correct. I mean, I will tell you that I enjoy, but Sean, I know you're younger than we are. I mean, you're much younger than I am. You're stronger than I am. What did you think of that?
I'm going to have Indian wrestling on here now.
I'm, you know, that format, the 90s music, I was kind of starting to get a little bit of out of alternative, but I was still listening to it. I like some of the music on there. But as you said, the presentation, that syndicated guy, it was just even the cheesy name, Felonious Francine Marconi, and I'm like, okay, can't you come up with a better? And as far as alternative station goes, which I've listened, I remember as they really came in with the Edge in Dallas and 101X and KDAC here in Austin back then in the height of the alternative era, you were nice enough. I'll just flat say it. It sucks.
I think he was trying to, it sounded to me like they were trying to compete with Jack FM. And I know Dave Crooks, I think, liked the Jack FM format. Maybe he couldn't procure that because he had it down to 96.7, a station I used to work for in Vincennes for a while. So that's, it sounded like they were trying to be a Jack FM with an alt rock mix of music, but I think we're about out of time because at 44 we're gonna have to play our final segment.
But I will want to thank everyone. Dave, first of all, Mr. Day, Mr. R, I want to thank you very much for engineering this thing and taking over for us. You guys were great tonight. I had a great time doing the podcast. Thank you, one and all. We'll catch you all next week, and we're gonna handle things and travel to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We're gonna go to Jerry's home country, and we're gonna hear a classic, something from WFIL. So Dave, I'll let you play that in the closing segment. Thank you, one of all, for listening. Bill Sparks should be back next week, we should hope. And we'll catch you all next week. Have a good one, guys. This past week, I had a request on my email asking to play an air check of radio station WFIL AM in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And yes, we've played many air checks of this radio station in the past. However, we've never played an air check from the program director of the radio station, Jay Cook. This air check was made on October 28th, 1968, and I think it sounds pretty good. I love the newscasts, love all the production, the jingles. Well, what more can you say? So without further ado, why don't you sit back and enjoy WFIL AM in Philadelphia from October 28th, 1968 on this week's edition of the All Things Radio podcast.
And tomorrow, high of 63, 54 WFIL degrees right now. Paul Anka with a brand new Boss Hitbound Sound.
Good night, my love.
Hello.
Anybody there?
Just in.
Paul Anka, famous 56 for the brand new treatment of great old Jesse Belvin song. Good night, my love. 10:42 WFIL circuitry time with Jay Cook.
Hello, this is Bobby Vinton.
Win a week's groceries.
Hi, Bobby.
From Domino Sugar.
It was
and here's another lucky winner, Mrs. Catherine Smith of 441 West Wingahocking Street in Philadelphia. A $35 grocery check is on its way to you, Mrs. Smith. And say, would you like to win a week's groceries? Offer void where prohibited.
Oh, okay.
WFIL. Richard Kelman with these stories from Famous 56. Philadelphia School Board meets today to consider Tate proposals to curb violence. 20-year-old Josephine Murray killed by coal gas in new South Philadelphia apartment. Extra police put on warehouse in which Philadelphia voting machines are stored. Presidential candidate Dick Gregory to address noon rally at JFK Plaza in Philadelphia. Hubert Humphrey campaigns in the Quaker City tomorrow, George Wallace on Wednesday. Moscow asks Japanese government to persuade U.S. to stop bombing North Vietnam. Soviet unmanned satellite makes soft landing amid speculation of another launch. Czech officials concerned over anti-Russian demonstrations by students. WFIL temperature 54.
If you're a woman who works, did you know there's a wonderful career now open where you can be your own boss? That's Ed Murphy, DE25553 in Philadelphia.
Morning to you at 10:45. WFIL Music Power Time with Jay Cook. Partly cloudy, chance to sprinkle today. 54 outside currently. This is Diana Ross of the Supremes on Famous 56, number 6, the Boss 30. Listen to Love Child. Diana Ross of the Supremes on WFIL and Love Child at 10:48. Trick or treat time with Jay Cook.
Boy, Park's talking to his mom.
Famous, famous,
great new news from Sears that makes your dollars worth more because your dollars buy more in every department during Sears Days. Sears Days, the sale as great as its name, ends tonight. Show, hoping to give away another great prize when we play Trick or Treat in just moments here at Famous 56. You could win a wonderful trip for two to Hawaii. Wouldn't that be nice? Just you. And the heavyweight from the Dells at WFIL, that's Always Together. 10:51, Trick or Treat time with Jay Cook. Here are the Archies.
I recall just walking down the street.
Time with Jay Cook. May have a sprinkle later on today. 54 outside. About a year ago today, this was a big one.
Oh, don't let hurt, but I still see.
Number one then, and number one now.
Oh, I wake up in the morning with my hair down and my eyes, and she says hi.
WFIL. WFIL Music Power Time with Jay Cook. Gonna be playing Trick or Treat again in a little while, and you could be a winner. Maybe a trip to two to Hawaii or a Mustang. Here are the Chambers Brothers. That's the sound of the Chambers Brothers on WFIL. Hitline requested this morning for Valley Forge, but the time has come today. It's 11:06. Trick or Treat time with Jay Cook.
Mom, can you show me how
Billy,
to...
not now.
This message brought to you by the Pennsylvania Liquor Control Board.
If you think a dollar isn't what it used to be, spend it on Campbell's soup.
Hey, listen to this. Picture roast Long Island duckling with a heaping rice filling, Bing cherry sauce, a steaming Idaho potato, and buttery green peas. Where? The Stetton Diner, Stetton Avenue and Washington Lane in Mount Airy. And the Boss Jocks reminded you, a free health careers guidance clinic is open to interested students at Jefferson Medical Center on Saturday mornings. Students can enroll today by calling 829-6596. And Back to School Night, sponsored by the Willingboro Memorial Junior High School PTA, will take place on Tuesday, Willingboro, New Jersey, beginning at 7:30. Parents are welcome. And the community of Wayne, Pennsylvania, including the Fire and Police Department, will have a parade honoring Jane Barkman, U.S. Olympic medal winner, tomorrow, starting at 7 p.m. It's 11:08 on Famous 56, playing Trick or Treat in a little while. Hope we'll give you a big treat, like maybe a trip for two to Hawaii. Wouldn't that be nice? Stand by, play the game in just moments. Sound of Derek on Famous 56.
Speaking down your alleyway, knocking on your door.
Derek Boss hitbound at WFIL at 11:11 Trick or Treat time with Jay Cook.
During the past 4 years, an awful lot of people have become confused and frustrated. But worse than that, Americans have lost some of the basic confidence that they've always had in their leaders. Nixon's the one, the only one.
Paid for by the Nixon Agnew Victory Team, Pennsylvania Committee. This time, vote Republican all the way. Schweiker for U.S. Senator, Hannum for Superior Court, Depew for Auditor General, Pascarilla for State Treasure.
I love you. Love the way you hug.
It might as well be skin.
Cantrice from DuPont. It might as well be skin.
Get stockings of Cantrice Nylon at John Wanamaker's. It's 11:13. WFIL Music Power Time of the Boss Jocks reminding you your vote is your voice. So speak up. Partly cloudy. What a word for today. 57 WFIL degrees right now.
Put on your red dress, baby.
WFIL. Bobby Yars says the National Guard is no longer needed in Wilmington. Story headlines from WFIL News. Richard Kelman reporting. Just ahead, much more music with Jay Cook. It's partly cloudy today, tonight, and tomorrow. High 63, low 43. The wind at 6. The WFIL temperature 57. This is Richard. Kelman reporting WFIL News. Monday, October 28th, 1968. October 28th, 1964. WFIL solid gold. Come on, baby, and see about me. It's 11:22 WFIL trick or treat time.
When you're down,
solid voice and Bobby Hart. Know like a T.I.Z. for Coke. Cooking can be fun again. Yes, ma'am. And listen to this. A 10-piece set. The open stock valued at $32.15 all this month at Pomeroy's and Reagan Easton, Orr's and Easton, and Hager's in Lancaster. Now only $19.95. What a deal. Gonna be partly cloudy for today, tonight, and tomorrow, weatherman says. High of 63, expected 57 WFIL degrees right now. We're gonna be playing trick or treat again in a little while here on the Jay Cook Show. Already giving away a Halloween bat, baseball bat, and hoping to give away maybe a 1969 Mustang or color TV a little while. When we play the game, don't go away.
Bob, it's after midnight. What on earth are you doing?
They're another telebark.
Power time with Jake Oak, your little bitty buddy. Great to have you along at Famous 56 and invite you to listen for King George Michael, 6 to 10 tonight with a Battle of the New Sounds at 9 each evening on WFIL. Here's Mary Hopkin.
Once upon a time, there was a tavern.
WFIL. To the moon at 11:34 WFIL trick or treat time. Suggestion with the holiday season around the corner, party planning is going to be in full swing. And if you're tired of the same old place year after year, discover the in place for swinging parties. It's the Fabulous Showboat. The tasteful captain's lounge is enclosed, heating, and has complete facilities for dinner, dancing, and adult refreshment with plenty of Pepsi on hand. Are you interested? Call WA57640 and ask for Rosemary. Special holiday rates, use the Showboat, and come alive with Pepsi.
This is news from Sears. During this great Sears Day sale.
Hey, just listen to these Sears Day's values in home entertainment, then hurry to Sears and save. A fully automatic stereo portable record player, regularly $49.99, now only $39.88. A portable AM-FM radio, just $10.88. And imagine buying a tape recorder for just $14.98. Or a luggage-style portable radio for $8.88. They're all on sale now during Sears Day's. Sears Day's, the sale as great as its name, ends tonight. And remember that all Sears stores are open tonight. It'll be partly cloudy for today, tonight, tomorrow. High 63, 57. WFIL degrees. This is number 11 from the Boss 30 on Famous 56. Max Frost and the Troopers.
There's a sun rising up angry in the sky.
Max Frost and the Troopers with a shape of things to come.
Call me. It's time for trick or treat.
And if you live in the Philadelphia suburbs, suburbs only, please give us a call at the Boss Ghost Line at 303-8956. The third caller can dig for trick or treat.
Did you know you can run a reader, reacher, want ad? That's Locust 30400.
Hi, Lois. Come on in.
Gosh, Clark, this is very nice. Do you realize this is the first time I've been up to your apartment?
It's the closest sauce to the sauce you make at home.
Gosh, Clark.
Gee, Lois.
And Dorothy Passarella of Yadin, Pennsylvania, is ready to go haunting in our trick-or-treat bag. And when you say trick-or-treat, Dorothy, the next prize coming up will be yours. You have 15 seconds to give me the word. Here we go.
A bag of trick-or-treat candy. A 3.5-foot fork and spoon set. The Polynesian and wood. Opera glasses from the band.
Stop. A trick-or-treat.
Okay, here we go.
A spooky LP from the Classics 4.
Okay, Dorothy, you win a spooky LP with the Classics 4. I think you'll enjoy it.
Okay.
Congratulations and thanks for playing the game. Here's Sinatra.
So I'm down, so I'm out. Just don't ask me.
Lovett. That's Sinatra on WFIL Boston Bound Sound called Cycles at 11:54. Trick or treat time with Jay Cook.
It means Garden State Park is open again, and the finest thoroughbreds are running daily Monday, yes, Monday through Saturday.
Pick a winner today.
Hey, they're off at 12:30 in the first of iron grade races at Garden State Park. Daily double and exacta every day, Monday through Saturday. Feature race every Saturday. Heated clubhouse and grandstand. So hurry to Garden State Park, Cherry Hill, New Jersey, and make your hobby horses.
Kelman with these stories from Famous 56. School board meets today to consider mayor's suggestions for ending school violence. 4,700 invaluable stolen from John Kowalski residence on South 4th Street. Murder trial of six youths in Daniel Morrell trial resumes in Camden today. Samuel I. Atalucci of Maple Shade, New Jersey, leaps to his death from Whitman Bridge. Three gunmen get $85 from Oasis Motel, Admiral Wilson Boulevard in Camden. Students in Prague march through the streets shouting, "Russians, go home." Soviet Premier Kosygin calls on Japan to urge U.S. to halt North Vietnam bombing. The unmanned half of the two-craft Soviet space mission makes soft landing. Shooting erupts along the Jordan River ceasefire line and across the Suez Canal. WFIL temperature 57.
A moment's pure peppermint pleasure in a mad world. York peppermint patties. You know, while you enjoy them, the world seems delightfully sane.
It's 11:46, United Fund Fair Share Time. WFIL, the Boss Jocks reminding you, yours is the vote that counts. So make it count on Election Day. Johnny Nash, number four from the Boss 30.
I don't want to hear it no more fussing and fighting, baby.
What memories? Memories of the good old days of Top 40 Radio, listening to radio station WFIL AM in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, from October 28, 1968, and the program director, Jay Cook. Now, if you have any comments concerning this part of the podcast, why don't let me know about it by email or voicemail. The email address here is Jeff, that's J-E-F-F, Jeff at allthingsradio.net, or you can call me on that feedback line. The phone number is 800-693-0595. That's 800-693-0595. Hitting option 2 for the podcast team. For All Things Radio, I'm Jeff Bennett.
This concludes another All Things Radio Live. Join us every Thursday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern for the latest radio news, interviews, caller questions and comments, station scopes, and more. Visit the show's official website at www.allthingsradio.net and visit the Legend website at legendoldies.com. Join us again next week for another All Things Radio Live on the Worldwide Legend.